Bible tonight, please, and open it, if you would, with me to the book of Hebrews and the 10th chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, this evening. As we mentioned this morning, our thoughts will be centered all this day on the Lord's table, and tonight we want to consider a passage of Scripture that will help us understand, again, the essence of communion and the importance of drawing near unto our God. And so I trust tonight that as we come to Hebrews chapter 10, that we would understand that this is a part of our worship, a part of our preparation as we come and gather then around the Lord's table to remember the sacrifice that He made for us and for all that He is. Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin in verse 19. We're going to read down to verse 25, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The writer says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's pray together, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank You tonight that we can come and gather together again around the Word of God, and in a few moments to gather around our Lord's table to be reminded by the way of elements of bread and juice that our Savior gave His life for us. And because that He has given His life, He has afforded to us access to the very presence of our God. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, Lord, tonight we have the privilege and the blessing of a close communion and a close fellowship with our God and our Savior. And Father, for that we rejoice and we give You thanks. It's only because of Jesus Christ. It's not in our own worthiness. For Lord, there is nothing in us of any worth. It is only that He alone is worthy. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would see Jesus Christ in Him only. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It is by God's design, I believe, that we as a church regularly come and gather together around this table that we might remember our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not only a time that we remember what took place in the past, but it's also a time for us to reflect on our current soul's condition and ultimately for us to rejoice in the future blessing of His coming. We are to remember Him till He comes. And as we remember Him and as we look back and we think about what Jesus Christ has done for us, as we remember that sacrifice and as we look to that day in which He comes again, we realize that you and I live in the present. You and I live in this current day, and we are now challenged with the way that we live in light of what He has done and in light that He is coming again. And that's the focus of our thoughts tonight. I want us to consider the current condition of our soul's relationship with our Savior. We have been given the blessed opportunity to have a close communion, a close fellowship with the very God of heaven and earth, the Creator of mankind and Savior of our souls. You and I can have a close fellowship, a communion, a relationship with God. And we have been afforded this blessing because Jesus Christ came. Because He became sin for us who knew no sin, that His righteousness might be imputed unto us, that we be declared of God righteous and holy and acceptable in His sight. We now can come boldly to the throne of grace and have that access to our Father, that fellowship, that communion with Him. As we come to Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, I want us to simply look at three thoughts concerning our relationship to Him. And really, our thoughts are going to center on verse 22. In verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." As we begin tonight, I want you to see with me the admonition to draw near unto Christ. The writer of Hebrews gives to us this simple thought, this simple exhortation: draw near unto God. I want you to think about tonight the blessing that you and I have to draw near to God, to come and enjoy a relationship, a communion with Him. That we can come to Him and we can share our heart through the means of prayer, and God will reveal His heart through the means of His Word. We can communicate with God. We can talk with Him. And He talks with us through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. He takes that Word, He applies it to the need of our heart. What a blessing we have to have a close communion and fellowship with God. And as such, we realize that we are called to live a life that is holy in this present world and to be faithful to all that God has called us to do. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes when I sit and I think about the fact that we are called to live for the Lord in this present world, sometimes the thought of that just seems to be a little overwhelming. When I begin to look at the condition that this world is in, and I begin to think about the responsibilities that we have to this world, to be a light to this world, to be salt in the world, to be able to take to them the good news of the gospel, and to consider, and sometimes in our minds, the fewness of us and the greatness of them, it seems like almost an impossible task. It seems to be rather difficult and overwhelming, and we are tempted to think in our flesh that it's impossible for us to really live in such a way that really is pleasing to God, because we see our weaknesses. We see and understand our struggles. Yet God has called us to draw near unto Him. And the only way that you and I are able to please the Lord is that we walk by faith and not by sight. For the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. The just must live by faith. You and I are called to live by our faith in this present world. But you know, that kind of faith, that living faith, requires that living organism be fed and to be nourished. You and I cannot survive humanly without food and water. We can go with it for, we can go through life without it for a little while, but not for long. Because we are a living thing. There's a need for us to have the proper nourishment for us to continue. The same is true spiritually. You and I are called to live a spiritual life of faith, and it's a living faith. It's not a dead faith. It's not a faith just simply bound in some ideologies of men. It is a living faith delivered unto us, given to us with the responsibility to walk and live a life pleasing to God. And that requires proper nourishment. It requires that we be fed, that we might grow, that we might be strengthened. And the way that you and I grow is found in this admonition: draw near unto our God. It is as we draw near unto Him and we enter into those times of communion with God that we are strengthened and we are helped and we grow. Folks, you and I are not saved apart from Jesus Christ. It is by His blood that we have been redeemed. We talked about that this morning. But understand, you are not sanctified without Him either. You will not grow without Jesus Christ. It is His blood that gives you the power to overcome things in this present world. We need that closeness, that communion, that fellowship with God. And so the writer says, let us draw near. It is our admonition to come and draw close unto our God. It's important for your life and for mine. No one demonstrated that greater on this earth than Jesus Christ. I want you to think about His life for just a moment. What did He often do while walking this life? He came apart for a while that He might commune with the Father. He went apart from His disciples that He might pray. Sometimes the whole night through. Even though He was weary, even though He was tired from ministry, He would come apart that He might be with the Father, commune with Him. It was essential for the very Son of God to commune with His Father while on this earth. Is it any less essential for you and I, who are sons of God, to now commune with our Heavenly Father? I want you to hear the quote that one commentator said concerning Christ and His fellowship with the Father. It said, His prayer life was exemplary because His faith was perfect and His burden was great. His life was one of communion with God. The Father was in Him and He in the Father. But as the man from Nazareth, the prophet from Galilee, the Savior of sinners, He drew near to God again and again, that while He walked the sands of time, His heart might be in heaven. Fellowship with the Father was His supreme delight, and doing His Father's will was His desire. While Jesus Christ walked the sands of time, He communed with the Father that His heart be in heaven. Folks, do you understand that while you walk through this life, this world is not your home. We are but a pilgrim. Heaven is home. That is where our heart ought to be. The Lord Jesus reminded that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So understand that you will lay up treasures where your heart is attached. If your heart is attached to the things of this earth, you will lay up treasure where moth and rust will corrupt and where thieves will break through and steal. But if your heart is in heaven through close communion with God, you will lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. It is important that we have that close communion with God. Should we not then enter boldly to the throne of God that we might seek His fellowship with Him while here on this earth? He who is our great high priest has provided for us the way. Therefore, let us draw near to our God. His body was broken, His blood was shed, that we might know this joy of communion. You know, tonight is not just a time of ritual. It's part of remembrance and relationship. We eat a piece of bread, sometimes fresh and sometimes stale. It all depends. But we eat the bread that we might be reminded of our Savior's body broken for me and for others as well. We drink a small bit of a cup of juice that we might remember that His blood was shed for the remission of my sins. And that by a broken body and by His shed blood, He has now invited you, He has invited me to come near unto Him. To walk with Him face to face. To talk with Him as a friend. What a remarkable promise is ours. What a remarkable reality we can know day by day. So the writer says, let us draw near. Folks, you are as guilty as I am at times of wasting the opportunities to draw near to God, because we are human beings and we are flawed. We think that this life centers around us. We think it centers around our needs, our wishes, and our wants. Folks, this whole human history, the world and time as we know it, has been designed to center on one person alone, and his name is Jesus. And we have the privilege to know him. No wonder why Paul would say, "Oh, that I might know him. And I have not yet apprehended that which by which I have been apprehended, but I will press toward the mark." Why? Because I want to draw near to my God. Folks, we have been given an opportunity to draw near to him. This is part of that. As we come in remembrance of him, what he did for us on Calvary. But I want you to notice verse 22 goes beyond just an admonition, and it gives us the requirements for drawing near. We've been told that we need to draw near, and God has provided for us the way for us to draw near unto him. However, there is a requirement of drawing near. Yes, we have been saved by the blood of Christ, and yes, we've been given a home in heaven, and no one can take that from you. Nothing can separate you from the very love of God. But that does not mean that God does not require that we approach him in the right way. Yes, we can come to God wherever we are, but we can't come to him however we please. There is a difference. There are some requirements for you and I as we seek to draw near for that time of communion. Do you realize tonight that it is possible for all of us this evening to gather together around the Lord's table, to read the scripture, to sit in silence and to, I trust, meditate and to pray and give God thanks for what has taken place within your life, for what he has done for you? Sometimes I sit there and I honestly just think about that day back in 1978, November 27th. That I was saved as a 5-year-old boy, understanding that Jesus died for me and that he loved me. And sometimes my heart just simply rejoices that he would save me, that he would open the eyes of my understanding, that I might be able to see that even though I grew up in a Christian home with parents who loved the Lord and grandparents and a godly heritage, the reality is there was nothing in me worthy of salvation. And I came to understand that God said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he granted me on that day salvation. Sometimes I'm reminded of the fact that there was a day back in 1992, February 2nd, where I sat through messages and sermons and time of devotion in which the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that he had called me to the gospel ministry, something I fought for months. But on that day, he said yes. And I said okay. Because it was clear and it was known. Sometimes I reflect on the blessings that God has given. But folks, as I do all of that, and as I go through all of that service, and as I partake of the bread and I partake of the juice, there is the reality that I can come through that whole time and miss the blessing that it's designed to be. Because I can come to this table unworthily. I can come to this table selfishly. I can come to this table ritualistically and as just merely a part of my religion and miss it's a time for me to commune with God. You can miss the same blessing tonight. There are conditions and requirements for our drawing near. Here's what he says. He gives us two. Let us draw near with a true heart. We are to come to God in sincerity of heart. Folks, don't be fooled tonight. God is not deceived by our outward show of religion. Everyone else might be. I might be. Your spouse next to you might be. But God is not deceived by a mere outward show of our religion. It is not that we simply go through the motions of our religious duties. Communion with God is not simply that we wake up in the morning, I read my Bible and I pray. And I go through the motions of it all. It's not that I do what he tells me to do and hand out a few gospel tracts along the way. It's not mere religious show. But it's simply that I would desire and as a heart seek after my God. God says when we seek, we will find. When we knock, the door is open unto us. We need to come with a heart of sincerity, with a true desire that we might commune with God. Matter of fact, the Bible makes it very clear that God is not interested in our religious activity. Open your Bible to the book of Isaiah, please, for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse 10. Isaiah writes to the people of Israel, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." You said, I thought you said he was writing to Israel. It says he's writing to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, he's referring to them as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's actually talking to God's people. "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts?" Rather strong language from God to his people. "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, and the new moons and Sabbath and the callings of assemblies I cannot. Away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Now notice his requirements. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they were be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." There is an invitation for all of us to draw near. But God says, listen, I am tired of the vain religion that you offer. In fact, I'm sick of the sacrifices. What he desired was a sincere heart. Matter of fact, David learned that lesson, did he not, after his sin with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, he realized that it's not sacrifice that the Lord desires. It's a broken and a contrite heart that God will not despise. God isn't looking merely that we go through the motions. He wants us to seek him with a sincere heart. I want you to think about this for a moment. God is longing for and desiring fellowship with you. If he didn't, he would not have provided that through his Son, Jesus Christ. But God made you and I for fellowship with him, and he longs for that fellowship. Dare we approach God with a heart that is insincere and merely go through the motions? When he gave his Son in order that we might have that communion and fellowship with Him. We're to come with a sincere heart. As you and I have come tonight, I ask you, have you done so with a heart that's sincerely seeking Him? Or is tonight merely just another part of our religious duties to which we give very little thought? It's so easy sometimes when we do things regularly to just go through the motion. But it ought never be a motion that we go through. No service, by the way, ought to be a going through the motion. Every service ought to be fresh and new, and a great opportunity for us to commune with our God. Next, he says, let us draw near with a full assurance of faith. As we understand who the Lord is and who we are, none of us would dare come to the Lord and ask of Him really anything. We realize that we are vile and we are wretched. We are unworthy of anything. We are evil men who deserve no favor of God. Yet by a body broken and bloodshed, God has made it possible that we be now righteous and have been told that we have the right to enter into the throne of grace and to do it boldly. I remind you, that term boldly there means with mouth wide open. It means with expectation. We assume that God will be there, that He will hear, and He will answer. Because He will. In fact, He said to His people in the book of Psalms, open your mouth wide that I might fill it and pour you out a blessing. He's desiring of that. Is it not a blessing to you to know that once your sins are forgiven, that they have been forever removed from your account, never again to be charged? God has forgiven all of my sins. Is it not a blessing to know that once we are saved, that no one can separate me from God? We don't have the time tonight, but I'd encourage you to go back and read Romans 8. What can separate you from the love of God? And he gives a list of what we might think could separate me from His love. And then he reminds us, nothing. Nothing can separate you from that love. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. You belong to Almighty God. You're His child. What a blessing it is to know. We are the children of God, and as such, we can come to Him with full assurance, knowing that we will in no wise be cast out. We can come boldly before Him and seek that time of fellowship. By the way, our assurance is only increased when we know that our conscience is clear and our lives are pure and we're seeking Him with a sincere heart. Again, go back to Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Folks, I'm convinced that sometimes the reason we don't have the boldness is because we are allowing sin to be a barrier between our fellowship with God. Let's face it. When there is sin between you and another brother or sister in Christ, you really don't necessarily want to see them or talk to them on that Sunday, do you? They're there. Go on this side today. I'll sneak around brother so-and-so because he'll hide me and they'll never see me as I sneak out the door. Children don't have a whole lot of assurance when they have disobeyed their parents. It's one of the tales of a father. You walk in, how did everything go today? And you see their head going, drop. Not good, huh? What did you do? This is your opportunity to come clean. I didn't obey in junior church today. I know. You know, the reality is we can come to God when our conscience is clear and our life is pure, and we can know and enjoy the fellowship. So as we conclude tonight, let me just give you this encouragement that is given for those who draw near. What encouragement is found for us again in this book of Hebrews as we're reminded that when we draw near, we are coming again unto our great high priest, Jesus Christ. He reminds us that Christ is the one once and for all who paid the penalty of our sin. Folks, that's what tonight really is about. We're reminded of one who paid the penalty. The one who has saved us. He has destroyed sin's power. He's defeated the fear of death for us. That's why we're told in Hebrews chapter 4 that we have a great high priest. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our frames. He knows that we are but dust. And he invites us to come to the throne of grace. For what purpose? To find mercy and strength to help in time of need. We can come tonight and seek communion for help and strength. We can come for that mercy and grace that we need to live day by day. His grace saved us, and his grace can sustain us if we come to him. And we seek him in times of need. We can have that communion with him. The truth that he is our high priest also reminds us as well of the power that he is able to save us to the uttermost. Go back to chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews. Look at verse 25. Verse 24 says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by he, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for them." He is able to save us to the uttermost. We are also reminded that his ministry that he performs for us, he is making intercession. He is our advocate. Folks, you and I are not alone. When you and I come before the very throne of God, and sometimes we approach our Heavenly Father and feel very unworthy to do so. The Bible makes it very plain that there are two things that are taking place at the same time. Because the Godhead is a Trinity. The Father is there for us to go and commune with, and the Son of God is interceding for us. He is our advocate before the Father. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that there is the Spirit of God who takes sometimes the thoughts and emotions that we cannot even express, and he takes them perfectly to the Father that our needs might be met. Sometimes we go to other people hoping that they can help, and they may help in a portion, in just a little way, but they can't meet the need fully. Our God can save us to the uttermost. That's who we commune with. That's who we fellowship with. What a blessing is ours that we can commune with him. It is by him that we are led to the throne of the living God and been granted access to him. He is our high priest, and by that sacrifice that he made, we enjoy our time of communion. You know, we ought to take courage because we have a high priest in Jesus Christ. He gave his life, he shed his blood, and presented himself before the Father, was received of him, and by his blood, we've been saved. By his blood, we've been received into the family of God. By that blood, we have access to him, and by that blood, we can commune with God as friend with friend, face to face with our God. One day, very soon, by the way, because today we do that by faith. One day soon, we're going to do that by sight. We will behold him, and we will see him in all of his glory and fall at his feet that we might worship him. I don't know about you, but as a child, I used to think, what in the world will we do in heaven? I mean, what activities is God going to have for me to do? I mean, do we play baseball? Do we get out of the basketball courts made of gold? I don't know. You know what our desire will be? To commune with God. To sit at his feet. To listen to him and to hear him. And to offer our worship and our praise of him. And you know what? A day will feel as but 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is but a day. And it won't matter. Time will be gone and you and I will live in eternity with him. We don't have to wait for that, folks. We can commune with God today. We should be doing that tonight. Even as we gather around the Lord's table and we partake of the elements, as we remember the sacrifice that he made. This table is for those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. All others are forbidden from this table. The requirement to come tonight is salvation. And this table is for those believers who are also in right fellowship with their God. So consider tonight your own heart. And see if you come to this table worthily. We're warned in 1 Corinthians 11 not to come unworthily. For some sleep, and the reference there is to death, because they have done such. It's not about a religious ritual tonight. It's about a time for us to draw near to the God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let's pray together, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask tonight if Weston would come. I simply want him just to play through a verse or two of a hymn. Tim's going to come in just a moment, and we're going to sing again before we come around the Lord's table. But before we do that tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you tonight, as Weston begins to play quietly, would you take a moment and consider your own selves? The Bible tells us that we ought to judge our own lives, not everyone else's. As you do so tonight, is your heart sincerely seeking him? Or are you merely going through the motions tonight? This is a chance for you and I to commune with God. Will you come with a sincere heart before the Lord? Can you come boldly tonight around his table to enjoy the fellowship with Christ? Or do we find there to be a sin unconfessed within our life that makes that fellowship difficult with our God? Maybe tonight you ought to take, in the quietness of these moments, the time to confess your sin. Have you come tonight that you might draw near to him? As Weston continues to play, would you pray? Prepare your heart for a time of worship tonight as we gather around the Lord's table.